I want to read from Job chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 7 through 9. The Lord finally let me read a Job scripture. It says, "Can you fathom the depths of God or discover the limits of the Almighty? They're higher than the heavens. What can you do? They're deeper than Sheol. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea." When you were singing that, what's that line again? That he's deeper than the...
You are an endless ocean and bottomless sea.
Say it louder.
You are an endless ocean and bottomless sea.
You are an endless ocean and a bottomless sea. The thing about a bottomless sea is that if it's bottomless, then there's undiscovered knowing.
Yeah, that's right.
Undiscovered knowing. Meaning that there are depths of him and a revelation of who he is that is beyond what we can fathom, beyond what's been attained. So the invitation to jump in the river, if you will, we've been saying that for weeks, the invitation to go deeper in our relationship with the Lord is an invitation to see more of him that many people have never discovered, and even I would say this, that we even have never discovered. I don't know about you, but I want to dive deeper into that bottomless expression of the Lord. I'm going to read a passage for you that the Lord gave me in my prayer time. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 10 through 16. If I can find it really quick. Can we just give God some praise tonight? Come on. I'm going to read it from my phone because I want to read a specific translation. And it's not letting me do it right now. Going to be so good. I'm going to let the youth testify, but I may preach this later on. Y'all feel like staying until midnight?
Yeah.
All right. Some of the newer people are like, what? 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 16. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. It says, "God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit." He unveils profound realities by who? The Spirit. Yes, he has revealed to us his inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all these things. I want you to get that in your picture, in your mind, that picture in your mind for a second. The Holy Spirit discovering more and more and more and bringing that mystery to us. It says, "After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? So it is with God. His thoughts and his secrets are only fully understood by his Spirit, the Spirit of God." So all of the depths of the Lord, the deepest, the picture of the bottomless ocean, how great the Lord is, there's only one that truly knows that, and it is his Spirit. That same Spirit lives inside of us. Do you hear that? That same Spirit lives inside of us. The only thing, the only person who knows the innermost part of a God who has the picture of a bottomless ocean of knowing. Now watch this. "For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all the grace that he's lavished upon us." We articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit and not with words taught by human wisdom. we join together Spirit-revealed truths with Spirit-revealed words. Someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelation of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. Let me put that in layman's terms, okay? If you're not in a relationship with God, you won't understand what revelation of the Spirit is. Because the Holy Spirit speaking to you will be so foreign that you will think it's something other than the Lord. So the invitation of knowing the Lord brings about an invitation to knowing the one who knows the Lord better than all. And the qualifier is not a perfect record, and the qualifier is not your church attendance, and the qualifier is not how much you pray. The qualifier is, do you want to know the Lord? Simple as that. Do you want to know the Lord? Someone living on entirely human levels will reject the revelation of God's Spirit. They make no sense to him. He cannot understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. Those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things, and they're subject to the scrutiny of no one but God. For whoever has intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh will enough to become his counselor. Christ has, and we possess Christ's perceptions. In other words, when we are redeemed in the blood of the Lamb, the very blood that defeats the snake bite, the enemy, the one who posed as a serpent, if we would understand that when we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, then we inherit the blood of the Lamb's perceptions, and therefore we have access to perceive the voice of the Holy Spirit, who knows all things more than we ever could. Now, why am I saying all that? One thing that the Lord's been showing me over and over this week is a very simple, or seemingly simple, concept that the church has rejected. And the concept is simply this: first the natural, and then the spiritual. Can someone say that with me? First the natural, then the spiritual. What the Western church has embraced is that we're supposed to be spiritual first and then see results in the natural. We think that we're supposed to get spiritual so that we can see it in the natural. But the scripture says first natural, then spiritual. So when you have it upside down, you think first spiritual, then natural, you'll try to do spiritual things that are out of agreement with your natural actions. So you come to church and act like you pray when you have no life of prayer. Because you think, if I can just get really spiritual, it's going to manifest in my natural. But the Lord says, get it in your natural so that you can experience the spiritual. Can I just keep going? Okay. I promise I'm going to let y'all testify. Maybe. No, I'm just kidding. Let me just pull up the script, this passage. Y'all can have a seat. Let's turn those lights on. I'm going to teach a little bit. It's good. I can't let this die. I can't let this go. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to read verses 35 through 55. I can almost hear someone saying, how can the dead come back to life? How many of you say that I was dead, but I've come back to life in the name of Jesus? All right. That was weak, but that's okay. What kind of body will they have when they are resurrected? Foolish man, don't you know that what you sow in the ground does not germinate unless it dies? It's a picture of dying to self before you ever see anything in the spiritual realms. It's a picture of dying to self before you ever see heavens open over your life. Now watch, it says, what you sow is not the body that will come into being, but the bare seed. It's hard to tell whether it's wheat or some other seed, but when it dies, God gives it a new form a body to fulfill his purpose, and he sees to it that each seed gets a new body of its own because it becomes the plant he designed it to be. He says, if you will die to yourself, you will become a different kind of seed. And as that seed grows, you become the plant that you were meant to be. You become the original version that you were meant to be. Let's stop right there. You become the original version you're meant to be. You become the original version, that you're meant to be. A lot of us are walking in a perverted version of you that you have accepted as you because you think that what life has brought you defines you. But I say to you tonight that what life has brought you does not define you. The one who is as a bottomless ocean is the one who defines you. And he says, if you will die to what you've known and die to what you have identified yourself, I will make you a seed that will grow into the plant or the version of you that I came up with way before life tried to shift you in a different direction. Now, this is what it says. All flesh is not identical. Duh. Animals have one flesh, humans being another. Birds have their distinct flesh and fish another. In the same way, I want y'all to catch this, there are earthly bodies and there are heavenly bodies. Now, what did I just say? First comes the natural and then comes the... There are natural bodies and there are spiritual bodies. There are earthly bodies and heavenly bodies. There is a splendor of the celestial body and a different one for the earthly. There is a version of you that you've never seen that exists in a realm that you have never seen. I'm not talking about a parallel universe where you're existing somewhere. It's not what I'm talking about. Kind of. What I am talking about is that the Lord has a version of you that he wants you to become unified with. And it's not that that version of you does not exist. It's that first you have to get some things going in the earthly body so that you can experience the revelation or the rebaptism of you in a spiritual one. Let me just keep going. There is the radiance of the sun and differing radiance for the moon and for the stars. Even the stars differ in their shining. And that's how it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in decay, but will be raised in immortality. It is sown in humiliation, but will be raised in glorification. It is sown in weakness, but will be raised in power. And if there's a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Now, this is talking about this idea, again, I'm dying to myself to become who I truly am. And you have to dare to imagine that there is a you beyond what you know is you. Whether you're a baby Christian or you've been in church for 45 years or you're 99 years old, there is an unending meeting of who you truly are until your body gives out and you are living as a total spiritual being that will be reunited with your flesh when Jesus returns. Are y'all following me? Are you tracking? Now, it says in verse 45, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became the life-giving spirit. Who was the last Adam? Jesus. However, the spiritual did not come first. The natural precedes the spiritual. The first man was from the dust of the earth. The second man is Yahweh from the realm of heaven. So Jesus didn't start existing when he was born. He was a spiritual body existing in the heavens that came and revealed himself in what we knew first, a natural body. Okay? Now, The first one, first Adam, made from dust, has a race of people just like him who are also made from dust. Who is that race of people? This is not a trick question.
Us.
See, no one likes to say that because we think about Adam being the sinner, Adam eating the fruit, Adam doing it. We are that race of people. We come from the dust of the ground, and to the dust of the ground we will return. The one sent from heaven has a race of heavenly people who are just like him. Who is that people? Wait, what? Which Adam are we a part of? Yes. You live as one person being re-identified from a natural race to a supernatural race. From a natural body, from a natural person, to someone who the Lord sees and has made and has brought you into in the heavenlies. So when we talk about things like healing and prophecy and words of wisdom and all those things, it's not weird if you start looking with your spiritual eyes and understand the reason I'm able to do this is because I existed in spirit somewhere and my true natural is a supernatural expression of what my natural man did not want to receive. Let me say that in a different way. When you are identified in the world system, the dust of the ground, solely Adam, fallen, a sinner, embracing life as something opposite of the Lord, you cannot understand the things of the Spirit. The Lord invites us into a relationship of going deeper and deeper and deeper, so that you will become more in tune with who you are in the Spirit, so that you will start to understand the language of the Spirit. And what the spirit of religion does is try to close your ears to the Spirit of God, because a spirit of religion is from the snake, if you will. Where's Heather at? The snake. From the enemy, and he wants you wrapped up in your doing and not in your becoming. He wants you wrapped up in what do I need to do to earn a place where I am good with God, when the Lord says, you couldn't do it, so here's my son. The spirit of religion tries to close your eyes and close your ears, so when the Spirit of God speaks, the spirit of religion will pose itself as God and reject God himself. The spirit of religion has a stronghold over Savannah. The largest churches, and I'm not going to name them, so do not ask me to, and the largest movements in the South, especially that I've seen, are churches and movements who embrace a theology that the spiritual things of God have no place in today's systems. The spirit of religion is reigning in that. And you know why people embrace it? And I know some of y'all won't like me for saying this, but hear my heart behind it. The reason we embrace it is because, well, as long as there's family and community and they talk about Jesus, I'm good. I want to dive in the bottomless ocean. I want to become, I want to know parts of him that no one has seen. I want to see the parts of him that I can't read in the pages. I want to meet the one who says, hey, there's a spiritual side of me that only your spirit man can know, but I want your natural man to get to know your identity in the spiritual so that when I speak, you say, yes, Lord. That's the invitation. Now, the first one made from the dust has a race of people like him. The one sent from heaven has a race of people like him. Once we carried the likeness of the man of dust, but now let us carry the likeness of the man of heaven. I don't understand why we have gotten so far from understanding the likeness of the man of heaven. He says, I want you operating in the likeness of Christ. And it's more than just love. Actually, let me rephrase that. It is love. But our definition of love has been watered down to the love of heartstrings being pulled. You know what the love of Jesus says? You don't deserve for your legs to be healed, but here you go. You know what the love of Jesus says? Your natural man wants to embrace the abuse you experience as a child. But my grace says, I want to re-identify you as if you were never abused. But when we're familiar with our natural, we embrace the natural that's gone through hell and abuse and trauma because we don't want to think about the idea that there is a version of me that I can tap into and that I can access. But here's the thing. You're not going to get that version through 20 hours of counseling. Will counseling help? Absolutely. But here's where we miss it. First, the natural. And then the spiritual. You've got to build relationships and talk. But not because you want to stay at just the talk. You got to get some things right in the natural so that you can experience things in the spiritual. You got to do some things in the natural to experience things in the spiritual. Sacrifice. Die so you can become a seed that can produce the plant that God originally intended for. So what does sacrifice look like for some of us? What does dying look like for some of us? Forgiving the people that you don't think that deserve your forgiveness. Well, I don't want to forgive them. Die to what you want to do because first the natural. You want to see the spiritual man or woman that God has called you to be? And what is that? Your truest form that can walk on the earth as it is in heaven? How you get there is you have to do some things in the natural, which is sacrifice and dying to yourself so that you can see a manifestation of the spiritual. Your wholeness could hinge on dying to your pride to forgive. Your wholeness could hinge on letting go of bitterness. I wrote a post on Facebook this week about tithing. And the reason I wrote it was because it's a good reminder of natural and the spiritual. This is what I wrote. Tithing does two things. One, if you're used to spending 100% of your money on you, you start giving up 10%, it's going to force you to really look at your 90. Because in the natural, you start to see the numbers go down, if you will. Well, I tithe, I pay taxes, now I only have this much. I have to be intentional about this much money I have to live on. But you know what natural Adam man does to talk you out of spiritual manifestation? Well, I can't afford to tithe right now. Right? You know what natural man does? That pastor just wants my money. That's natural. But I have to die to that natural to experience supernatural. Now, y'all know I hardly ever talk about tithing, but I'm going to hit it right now. And I have been transformed by this in my life. First the natural, then the spiritual. What is the spiritual? It talks about a greater principle in Malachi than just give a tenth. It says when you sow a tenth into the ground, dying to your natural, sacrificing that tenth for the glory of God, something begins to happen in the spiritual. First natural, then spiritual. What happens in the spiritual? It's not that when you tithe, God blesses you. That is one of the mispreached sermons in any spirit-filled circle I've ever been with. Tithe and God's going to multiply your seed by 1,000 times, you know, all that stuff. No. It doesn't say that. It says when you naturally sow your tithe, it rebukes the seed eater. What does that mean? It means every time you give an offering to the Lord, offering time, talents, and treasure, serving, financial offerings. Y'all have provided financial offerings for all of our students and teenagers to go to camp this past week. I want to tell you, 5 of them got baptized. Isn't that awesome? But we'll do those offerings. We'll come to church. We'll serve as greeters. We'll give offerings for, you know, paying $20 for a cookie. We'll serve in the church with our talents. And the Lord, He loves that we give those offerings. But if you haven't given a tithe, what the Lord can't do is germinate that seed. Because there's a curse on it because it's still in your natural form. Oh, I'm just going to give as I want. I'm going to give as the Lord leads, because that's what the New Testament talks about. Did you forget about the part that Jesus says, I'm fulfilling the law, not abolishing it? What does that mean? Tithing has nothing to do with salvation, but it is a key of the kingdom of God. So this is what happens. He says, when you tithe, when you sow a seed, it rebukes the seed eater, the enemy. So what is the tithe actually? It is a key of the kingdom to rebuke a curse off of anything you sow. So that now that you've got your tithe in the ground, your time, your talents, your treasure can get in the soil and God can do amazing things. Because first you get it right in the natural, and then there's something that happens in the spiritual, and because you first natural, then spiritual, then the windows of heaven. You see, what the church wants to do is come in here and pray, Lord, open up the windows of heaven, when we haven't done a thing in the natural. We haven't sacrificed anything. We haven't died to self. And yet we want the windows of heaven to pour open. And we say things like, Lord, why won't you? Lord, why won't you? Lord, why won't you? When He's given us, if there is any formula, the Spirit knows me, you know the Spirit, but you will be limited in your knowing if you don't do some things in the natural before the spiritual. Why do we give up things that are full of sin? Not because you're earning salvation. Jesus bought it for you. So the common question is always, well, if Jesus purchased my right to be saved, then why do I have to get my life right of sin if nothing I do is going to earn it? Because getting your life of sin pure is not about salvation. It's about getting some things going on in the natural so that you can start to experience some things in the spiritual, the supernatural. So it's no longer what's right and wrong. It's what's the best right. Some of y'all are confused by what I say, but when I say that, good. Because here's the thing that happened in Genesis. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? He didn't want us to know that there was an either or. He wanted us so walking in perfect love and beloved identity as children of the Lord, walking with him in the cool of the day. That scripture, cool of the day, it literally means walking in the Spirit. That's what cool of the day means. He wanted us walking in the Spirit so much that we didn't know choice, we just knew him. So we say, well, is it okay if I do A or B? A or B may be okay, but I don't want to know which one's okay. I want to know what step brings me closer to him. Amen. What's sin and what's not sin? Know him and you'll figure that part out. So we have to get rid of some things in the natural to understand more of the supernatural. Get some things in the natural realm so we can start to understand the spiritual realm. Die to some things in my natural soul so that I can experience some things in my spiritual body that is somewhere in the heavens. So what does that mean? When you make life decisions, it's no longer, is it sinful or is it not? It's what is going to position me to move from natural to spiritual. What is going to position me to move from natural to spiritual? Let me get real plain. If in your natural, you keep failing at relationships, stop trying them over and over. Why do I say that? And I've been there. Wait, how many of you can say amen that you've been there? Amen. Some of you are all like, I don't raise my hand for that. Why is that? Because if you keep failing in relationships, here's what I want you to see. You were made for relationship. So if you can't maintain one, you've missed a part of who you are to walk into great relationship. So sacrifice a relationship makes me feel whole. Nothing sinful about dating. Teenagers, y'all need to listen to this. Nothing sinful about dating. Nothing sinful about any of that. But if I will die to that natural and get lost and Lord, show me who I am, then who you are spiritually, you're going to find some things, some missing pieces, and then because you sacrificed your natural want for relationship, you will be made whole in your spiritual self and seeing the right relationships through the right eyes, because you're no longer looking with your natural eyes, you're looking with your spiritual eyes. And you're looking at yourself with your spiritual eyes. And you're realizing, this is not normal. Why has it become my normal? And you can put that with everything in your life. What can I sacrifice in the natural so that I can see wholeness in who I am in the Spirit? Think about this entire series of Job we've been in for a while and have taken a break for a while. The entire time, it's this wrestling of like, Lord, I love you. Lord, I trust you. But why did you do this? Why did you allow this? And then we take that question and teach a false teaching in the church about Job, that God allowed this stuff to happen to Job. God did not allow it. Satan asked for permission. God said, leave my courts with the authority you have. So Satan leaves with the authority that he had. He started whispering. Stuff started happening. Job was a victim. And where Job should have said, this is not the Lord, he started saying, why, Lord, did you? Because in a moment of loss, he was no longer looking with his spiritual eyes. He was looking with his natural eyes. My kids are not here. My crops are not here. My jobs are not here. My income's not here. Why, Lord? But if he were to sacrifice his natural need to say, please give it back, and die to that need and say, Lord, I just want to be more with you, even if it means I have nothing here, our Bibles would have been that much skinnier. And if we ever get to the end of Job, which we will one day, we're going to see that the Lord provided more than him, but it was when he realigned from natural to spiritual. And that's what I want you to hear tonight. First the natural, then the spiritual. There's a reason, going back to the tithing example, that Malachi said, test me in this. I do not believe it was only about money. I've heard that preached so many times. There's one thing that the Lord says to test you on, that's giving. You go give, you go be multiplied. No, 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 no. It was, do you trust? Do you trust that if you will sacrifice your need in the natural, you will see a manifested spiritual form of living that you thought was only possible once everything was destroyed? And that is the biggest chasm in the church. I love the Lord. Please come back. And we miss the middle. The Lord says, I am with you always. Amen. So if we're obsessed with Jesus, will you return? You have totally missed on spirit relationship. Because I can tell you this, and I will say this boldly, and I don't care how much stuff I get because of it. I am totally okay with Jesus not coming back anytime soon. Because I'm not waiting for him to come back. He's here. Now, when he comes back, it's going to be amazing. But think about natural and spiritual. If we will begin to lean in with our spiritual lens and become our true selves, your relationship with who he is now will be no different than who what it would be as if he returned in the physical. Because you're not waiting on him to return. You're returning. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never abandon you. I'm here with you always. Adam, where'd you go? Why are you hiding from me? Why didn't you show up for the walk? It's all throughout Scripture. He says, I am here. And you know what happens in the natural? I know I said I was done with that. You know what happens in the natural? When we go without, when tragedy strikes, when we go through pain, the first thing most of us will do will say, Lord, where are you? And that's what he wants you to understand. He never left. And I know that seems like a very simple message. It's not, though. He is here. He is here. Wherever you walk is the presence of God because he's here. Everywhere. Every moment. He's with you. So take care of some things first in the natural. And then dare to see some things in the spiritual. Amen. Amen.